This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Again, greetings this morning and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in. Again, if you'd like to contact me, you'll want to get a pencil and a piece of paper out so you can write my mailing address and my website address down at the close of the program. The website does contain this program and you can re-listen to it there, and it also contains a weekly meditation that you might find helpful. There are tracts, testimonies, and other information on the website that you might find useful. So if you want those addresses, write them down at the close of the program. Now today is going to be the weekend of Memorial Day. Memorial Day always falls on a Monday, but this is the weekend of that Memorial Day, the beginning of what we sometimes call summer. It's really the beginning of summer vacations. School is about to get out. In some cases, it's out. School is out already, and people begin to take their vacations and enjoy the warm weather. But as we begin Memorial Day, we always have a time of remembrance, and that time of remembrance is centered particularly upon our veterans who have died protecting the freedoms of the United States. But Memorial Day is also a day when we often remember our loved ones who have died. It can be a nostalgic day. I know that for some it can be a day of joy as they think of the full lives that were lived by friends and relatives, but really it's a nostalgic day. But it's a day when we would like people to believe that we have not forgotten them. So we don't want to forget our soldiers. We don't want to forget our loved ones. We don't want to forget those people who were important in our lives. In some cases, we knew them personally, and in some cases, we didn't. Now, when it comes to spiritual things, there's an awfully lot of remembering that goes on as well. And even in the book of Genesis that we've been studying, we've already looked at one aspect of the way in which God remembers. You'll remember that we studied the rainbow, and the rainbow was put in the cloud, and God said in Genesis 9, verse 18, "The rainbow shall be in the cloud, and I will look on it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." Now, I don't think God would ever forget that he has made that covenant, but he puts this rainbow in the clouds so that there's a memorial to that covenant. And just as we would go out and look at a headstone of a loved one or the headstone of a vet who has given their life for a country, the Lord looks at that cloud in much the same way. But more than that, he has placed it there so we can look at that cloud and be reminded of the fact that God is faithful. And based on the cloud, I am convinced that we will never again see a worldwide flood. But as I study the scriptures, I am convinced that that worldwide flood speaks of coming destruction upon this earth, and that it is future yet, and God will destroy the earth by the elements melting in fervent heat, and we see that it will all be burned up. The whole of the earth and everything we know in our coming day is going to be completely destroyed by fire. We know that it before that happens, there's going to be a lot of history, that pre-written history that has to be fulfilled yet. There's going to be a coming day of wrath called the tribulation period, and there's going to be a coming period of righteousness called the millennium. And then the earth and the elements and all that is therein, Peter says, will be burned up. And there will be a new heavens and a new earth, but there will never again be a worldwide flood. And the rainbow is God's reminder to us of that great truth. Now, there's other things that we look at in Genesis where God did some remembering. In Genesis 8, God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth and the waters assuaged or abated. And this was the way in which God remembered Noah, the faithful man who had found grace in the eyes of the Lord and who built the ark so that he and his family could be spared from the judgment that was coming on the earth. Now, they were in that ark, and I suppose God could have forsaken them there. And the waters could have stayed on the earth for a long time because waters came from below and waters came from above. They came from both directions. But God remembered Noah. And that just simply means he took note of Noah. And he began to work in Noah's life. So it's not that he could forget, but he's emphasizing that he did not forget Noah. And Noah was then brought out of the ark and became the source through him and his three boys and their wives. They became the source of our current society. We often say that we all come from Adam, but really in our society, we all come from Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives. And then we come to Genesis chapter 19, and it says, "And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in the which Lot dwelt." Now, we haven't spent a lot of time on Sodom and Gomorrah and on this story, and I really don't want to. I'm hoping really that there are people listening to this that have sensitive ears, and I don't want to go into all the immorality of that day. But Lot had separated himself from Abraham and had lived first near Sodom and Gomorrah, and ultimately he lived in Sodom and Gomorrah. And from the New Testament, we find out that Lot was a righteous man, and the iniquity of these Sodomites was vexing him day by day. He apparently tried to be salt and light in that dark place, but he didn't have much influence, not even on his own family. And when we live with those who are Christ rejectors, God rejectors, and immoral, the odds are that we'll become like them rather than them becoming like us. And so the Bible talks about us, those of us who are true worshipers of God, those of us who are saved, being a holy people. And he wants us to separate ourselves from the evil of this world so that it does not taint us, influence us, and cause us to make mistakes that we should not be making. But Lot had gone into this city, and the Lord had come down and looked at the city and realized that it was time for that city to be destroyed. And the destruction in the Old Testament was often a means of keeping the evil from spreading. It wasn't that God hated those people. He gave them every opportunity to repent, even gave them Lot. But he finally comes to a point where he has to destroy the evil to keep it from a spreading. And I believe just about in every case in the Old Testament, when we look at wars and genocide and such, where people criticize God for the way he did in fact judge nations for their sin, it was designed to keep that kind of sin from being pervasive in the whole world, and particularly to keep that kind of sin from affecting the holy people, which in the Old Testament was a physical people called the Jews, and in the New Testament, it's a spiritual people called believers. And so God decided to destroy Sodom, but Abraham had prayed for Sodom and will not go through that prayer, but Abraham felt that there should be righteous people in Sodom, and he didn't want God to destroy the righteous with the wicked. And we know that Abraham, as he looks at Sodom, says, "Will not the judge of all the earth do right?" And God remembers Abraham. And when he overthrows that city, he makes sure that Lot comes out of the city. Now, if there had been some righteous people in the city, at least 10, there would have been, apparently the overthrow would not have taken place. But the situation with Sodom had become so bad that there wasn't even 10. But God wanted to bring Lot and his family out, and it turns out that only Lot and his wife and his two daughters came out. And the rest of his family tended to mock him when he said that judgment was coming. And that's often the case when we talk about the judgment of God in our day, because God has been gracious. People mock at the idea that there could be a coming day of reckoning and of judgment. But God took note of Abraham. He remembered Abraham. And because he remembered Abraham, Lot and his wife was brought out. Lot's wife had her heart back in Sodom, and she looked back and she turned into a pillar of salt, but she was brought out. So Lot and his two daughters ended up being spared. And in our day, when we remember the Lord, and I don't mean remember the Lord in the breaking of the bread, we remember him that way as well, but when we take note of the Lord and acknowledge the efficacy, the value of what he has done for us at the cross of Calvary, when we remember him and take note of him and believe in him in the same way that God took note of Abraham, that's when we are blessed. And so on this Memorial Day, the question isn't, should the soldiers be remembered? They should. Should our friends be remembered that have gone before us? Yes, they should. Should our ancestors be remembered that have gone before us? Yes, they should. But more than that, all of these things should remind us of the fact that there's one who died on an old rugged cross, and he should be remembered today, remembered by faith. We should get a vision of him by faith and see him on that old rugged cross and trust him. And if we would remember him, take note of him, if we would recognize the value of what he has done and not forget him, he would never forget us. And we come to Hebrews chapter 12, and the Lord is talking about a change in the dispensations with regard to Israel. And there's a day coming when he says, the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. What a blessing that's going to be. As a nation, God is no longer going to remember the fact that Israel constantly turned to idolatry when they should have been worshiping him. And he's going to take a remnant out of Israel that's going to be the apple of his eye. And he's not going to remember or memorialize their sin anymore. And those of us who have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have that same blessing. And thank God, God doesn't forget. He just doesn't let those sins and iniquities be an issue with him anymore, because Christ has died for them. And everyone who trusts Christ can honestly know that God has said, their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. We're saved, and we're saved for eternity. Now, our Heavenly Father, bless this lesson, and bless those who have listened. We thank thee for thy love and for thy salvation, and we just pray that this message will make a difference in the life of some who are listening today. We ask these mercies in our Savior's name. Amen. Now, our mailing address is Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.